Good morning, Blue Ocean. My name is Nancy Ogilvie, and I've been a member here at Blue Ocean for, I think, 3 years. Although I first started hearing about the church well before that from Susan King. I was raised in the United Church of Christ, about as far left as you can get, both theologically and politically, without becoming a Unitarian. And I've been in and out of church many times in my long and meandering spiritual journey. Stops along the way have included a couple of metaphysical communities, being initiated as a Wiccan priestess, and coming out at the age of 38 into the loving arms of a metropolitan community church congregation in Washington, D.C., the denomination that ministers specifically to queer people starting in the 50s. Between all those stops, time and again, I've come back to the church. I know why this feels so far away, because I didn't raise it. I'm a little taller than Rishi. I chose Easter morning 3 years ago for my first visit to Blue Ocean. It was something of a surprise when I walked into the sanctuary to discover an inflatable hot tub in the middle of the space. I knew it meant baptisms, and in the UCC, baptism means the minister sprinkling a few drops of water on a baby's head. I had never witnessed an adult baptism. I had never witnessed a baptism by immersion. So it was definitely a surprise and felt a little strange. But I stayed, and I came back the next week, and the next week, and I'm really grateful that I did. We have something really special here at Blue Ocean. And I'm honored to bring the message this morning on a topic that's near and dear to my heart: aging as a spiritual practice. Renewed day by day, aging as a spiritual practice. So what do I mean by aging as a spiritual practice? And what's this piece about being renewed day by day when the general perception of aging in our culture is that it's a time of decline and diminishment? My intent this morning is to look at the challenges of aging head on, using a story from my own life, and then to offer a very different vision of the gifts and opportunities that growing older can offer. An inspiring and an uplifting vision of aging as an invitation to deepen faith and lean into God's love, to shed egoic illusions, and to shift focus from our human identity to our spiritual identity. I'm also very aware that the number of people in this community who might consider themselves old or even older is quite small. Blue Ocean is the only congregation I know with an average age in the 40s. So I will remind everyone that, in fact, we are all growing older, aging as we sit here. I am talking explicitly to people like me with gray or white hair, people who are retired, and I hope that everyone will find something helpful, either for yourselves as you anticipate growing older or in your relationships with older friends or relatives. So let's start with a scripture reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. Paul says, "That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." So this, of course, is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. It seems unlikely that he's talking explicitly about aging as we think of it now. For one thing, the average lifespan in his time was 35 years. But he must have been aware of his body getting older, and I believe there's value in what he's saying here when we apply it to our topic of aging as a spiritual practice. Certainly, aging can be about our bodies declining. We may lose stamina or physical capacity. Our sight or hearing may decline. We may move more slowly and have less energy than we used to. We may begin to need help with things we used to do for ourselves. We also lose our work identity when we retire, and aspects of our parental identity when our kids leave home. In our youth-focused culture, where self-worth and success are measured in speed and productivity, and independence is so highly valued, that decline is seen as a bad thing. It means we're less competent, less capable. We're, quote, over the hill, and may end up feeling less valuable or worthy. And that youth-focused culture is fixated on things seen, on the material world, and therefore on the physical aspects of the aging human body. It's also focused on doing rather than being. To be successful, we're supposed to be human doings frantically busy all the time, rather than human beings. So what if we follow Paul's advice and shift our focus from things seen, our physical human experience, to things unseen, our spiritual experience, as we age? How might that shed new light on the experience of slowing down and loss of physical capacity? As we have less energy or stamina, we may choose to do less, leaving us with more time for reflection on our lives. We used to find meaning and purpose from our work and our roles with family, friends, community. Now we can begin looking for meaning and purpose in being rather than doing. We can rest in spaciousness and stillness instead of being frantically busy all the time. We create space for exploring the big spiritual questions in our lives. Who am I now? Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? What gifts of wisdom do I carry from a lifetime of lived experience? How can I continue to contribute to my family and community? What's my role now as I become an elder? I've mentioned that aging as a spiritual practice is a topic near and dear to my heart. So let me share a bit of my own story with it. 3 years ago this fall, I was about to turn 70, and I was feeling really proud of who I've become over my life. I decided 70 years warranted a big celebration. So I rented an Airbnb on Portage Lake for a weekend and invited my closest friends to a sleepover to celebrate with me. I also planned an open house for a broader circle of friends on Sunday afternoon. It was a big deal for me to say I wanted to celebrate me and to plan that party, first time I'd owned anything like that. So Friday evening of party weekend, a friend and I were setting up, carrying boxes of stuff into the house from the garage. I missed a little step. And down I went hard on the cement floor on my left hip. I was startled, of course, and a bit stunned. and just sat there for several minutes recovering. Then tentatively started testing my capacity. I was definitely sore and bruised, but everything seemed to be working. So I announced to my friend, "I think I'm okay." We finished loading everything into the house and went out for dinner. By the time I stood up after dinner to walk back out to the car, I could barely tolerate putting any weight on my left leg. It was too late for urgent care to be open at that point. So we went back to the house for a rocky night. X-rays at urgent care the next morning showed no broken bones. So they gave me some really good pain medications, told me to ice it and follow up with my doctor on Monday. It was still extremely painful to put any weight on my leg, and to my great relief, a friend who was coming to the party offered to bring a walker. When she arrived, the walker was identical to the one that my mom had used for the last several years of her life. So there I was, turning 70, expecting to host about 30 people for a party the next day in an unfamiliar house, and pretty much unable to walk without a walker that reminded me of my mom's aging process. Quite the initiation into aging, and clearly a choice point. In Paul's terms, would I focus on things seen, the human suffering I was experiencing, and perhaps even choose to cancel the party as a result? Or could I shift my focus to things unseen and look for the spiritual gifts that might be revealing themselves in my circumstances? Could I use this situation to deepen my connection with God? I had no control over what had happened, but I could choose how I responded. I could accept my reality and ask, "So now what, God?" And in making that choice, I felt an influx of love and knew all was well. Life had thrown me a curveball, and I was determined not to let circumstances interfere with the blast I intended to have celebrating my birthday with friends I love and I know love me. I also knew they would gladly step up to help with the preparations. So I did have an absolute blast all weekend. In fact, my injury meant that people were waiting on me, taking care of me in ways that wouldn't have been necessary otherwise. And I was awash in a sea of love through the entire celebration. And that is my experience of aging as a spiritual practice. In Paul's words, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. We know a God who balances the scales of justice. When we lose something, they give us something new. We can trust that as our bodies begin to die, God is renewing our inner spiritual capacities and preparing us for going home to them, and that we can choose to begin reaping those gifts now. We can choose to make aging not only a spiritual practice, but also a vibrant and rewarding spiritual journey. As I look back on my experience of the fall 3 years ago, I see three gifts God offered me in that abrupt confrontation with aging. I've continued to build on those gifts over the last 3 years and found them to be very helpful as I continue to explore this spiritual journey of aging. Let's look at how these showed up in the story of my fall and then I'll elaborate on how they've been helpful since. And remember, we're all aging, so everyone can benefit from considering these. First, God slowed me way down with the fall. I could still walk gingerly with the walker, but I definitely needed to be very deliberate about each step, and sometimes simply to stop and rest, to be still. That gave me time to notice how beautiful the setting was, right on Portage Lake, with the trees all around the lake beginning to turn colors. It also gave me space to be fully present with my friends as they arrived. Without the injury, I would likely have been up and about, busy being hostess and serving everyone else. So the injury meant that my friends gladly waited on me, and I learned how good that feels. It offered me the opportunity to experience being served, to try out being Mary instead of Martha in that Bible story. So it also opened me to a new identity. I had always identified as a giver, and I tried out being a receiver. Second, the fall was humbling, to say the least, and I felt really vulnerable. I've always prided myself on being independent, and that self-image was abruptly stripped away as an illusion. I even needed help putting my shoes and socks on, for God's sake, because I couldn't bend over far enough. That didn't feel much like a gift at first. It felt like humiliation. But God knew what a burden insisting on self-sufficiency is. And as I settled into being and was able to breathe, I felt the relief of letting go, of doing it all by myself. I practiced letting go of that old identity that no longer serves me. Finally, you'll recall that the walker my friend loaned me was identical to the one my mom used in her later years, conjuring images of her aging process. As I began my recovery after the party, God opened me to wonder if my beliefs about what it means to age were being unconsciously influenced by my mom's experience. Where did my images of being old come from? And was I limiting what's possible for me? Certainly, in a culture as ageist as ours, it's highly likely that I have some inherited beliefs about what is and isn't possible or even appropriate as I age. So I found it really useful to reflect on this question of who were my models of how to age. Going back to Paul for a moment, these three gifts helped me to shift my perspective from my human physical experience of suffering to my spiritual experience and my love for God and my friends. God substituted spiritual gifts for the physical losses I experienced. And that makes it possible to live with a sense of hope and being on an adventure. It actually transforms growing old into a spiritual journey of becoming an elder, someone whose love, grace, and wisdom from lived experience are gifts to their community. In fact, I'd suggest that that's part of God's plan for us as we age. They know our world is aching for this shift from focusing on things seen to focusing on things unseen. From exclusive doing to incorporating being, spaciousness, and stillness. From holding on tightly to our old identities to exploring who we truly are now. From holding rigidly to old beliefs to practicing letting go and trusting in God. And perhaps it's even God's plan that elders lead the way in that transformation. We're living longer. So why is God giving us those additional years? I see that longer lifespan as an opportunity to harvest the wisdom we've gathered over a lifetime of experience and to contribute it back into our families, communities, and world. That's why I've been co-creating a new community over the last few months that we're calling Undaunted Elders. If you'd like to hear more, I'd be happy to chat with you after church. And I'll go back in that corner there by Ken. For our meditation today, I'm inviting you to consider who you want to be as you age. What's your image of your elder self? Who is God calling you to be? We'll take a few moments of silence for you to reflect. Thank you, and amen.